Hello, beloved, and welcome to the Book of Revelation. We are busy with study number 27 on the Book of Revelation, and we are looking at the church in Laodicea, the letter that Jesus wrote to the church in Laodicea. This is the fourth part already as we look at the church in Laodicea. Now, we find this in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14 to 22, where Christ, or his letter to the church in Laodicea, one of the churches in Asia Minor, that Jesus wrote to through the Apostle John, and the messenger was the angel. We see this letter that Jesus Christ wrote to the church through John. All right. Now, in Christ's letter to the church in Laodicea, we've already learned that we need to watch out for pride and arrogance. Okay? We need to guard our mouths, and what we see in our bank account, it does not reflect our spiritual condition. We've also seen that Jesus will vomit a church out of his mouth, now if he sees fit. We've also seen that in Christ is found everything necessary to live the kind of life that is pleasing to him. And then we've also seen that Christ's love is basically expressed in the fact that he chastises and rebukes those that he loves. Very interesting way that Christ actually shows his love towards his church. All right, so what we're going to do tonight is we are going to continue with verse 20. Okay. Before we do that, though, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you that we have your word. Thank you that we have this letter to the Laodicean church. And even though it is such a shocking letter, thank you that we can learn from it. Thank you that we can take it to heart. Examine our own lives, examine our own spiritual lives, and repent if necessary. So I pray, Father, please, will you open up our hearts to receive, our minds to understand, and give me the ability as your servant to teach your people, Father, especially when it comes to a passage like this one, where it's been misinterpreted so many times in the past. So I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. What does verse 20 tell us? It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me." Now, when this verse is used, it's always interesting that it is used for sinners. Not to call them to repentance and faith, and then they are given this major fantastic promise. Typical is it would be something like, "You are a sinner in need of Jesus Christ, and Jesus is standing at the door of your heart and he's knocking. If anyone hears Jesus' voice, open up the door of your heart, and then Jesus Christ will come into your life, and he will have, or he will dine with you, and you with him." And it will be presented as if Jesus is standing at the door as this, "Oh, please open up the door. I would love to come into your life and to have dine with you, have supper with you, or have a meal with you." As if Christ is the one that is begging. It's not true. This is not what the text is saying. Beloved, we need to be very clear on this. Remember what Jesus did. Jesus is the one who evaluated this church. Okay? He looked at the church from outside. He looked at the church, but he is supposed to be in the church because Christ is the head of the church. All right. So in a major sense, Christ is inside the church, is looking around, and he sees what the church is all about and what's happening within the church. And he is so unhappy with this church because this church is neither hot nor cold. And because this church has become so lukewarm and tastes so bad and looks so bad and is not what is expected of a church, what does Christ do? He vomits them out. He vomits the whole church out. And now what has happened? Christ is now outside the church. He's no longer inside. He vomited them out. All right, keep that in mind. You see, preachers love to say to sinners, Jesus is standing at the door of your heart, and he wants to come in. And if you open up the door of your heart, he will come in and he will save you. But beloved, the thing is, and correct me if I'm wrong. I'm open to be, corrected if I'm wrong. There is nowhere in Scripture where salvation is associated with inviting Jesus into your heart. Nowhere. There is not a passage of Scripture that I know of. Well, they use this one, I know. But there's no passage in Scripture that says that the way that you get saved is by inviting Jesus into your heart. That's not biblical salvation. That could be a cocked up new modern way of salvation. You know, this modern evangelism that takes place. Just invite Jesus into your heart and you will be fine and you'll be okay forever. And then they declare you are now a child of God because you invited Jesus into your heart. Beloved, when we read Scripture, and this is always the case when it comes to salvation, salvation in Scripture is always based on repentance and faith. Repentance of sin and faith in Christ. Our salvation depends on those two things, repentance and faith. Repentance of sin, faith towards Jesus Christ alone, who is able to save. Now, there is a passage of Scripture that kind of sounds as if we can receive Jesus. And that is in John chapter 1 verse 12, where we read, as many as receive him, or received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So in this verse, it might seem as if Jesus is to be received. Eh? Because it says, as many as received him, to them, who? Those that received him, he gave the right to become children of God. But the thing is, the receiving that we read about here is to receive everything that is revealed about Jesus Christ in the previous verses. From chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Everything that is said in John chapter 1, from verse 1, right up to verse 12, has to be accepted, or up to verse 11. Then we get to verse 12, where he says, as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. As many as receive him for who he is. That's basically what it boils down to. You see, to receive Jesus is to receive who he is. It's not this inviting Jesus into your heart and receiving Jesus into your heart. To become a child of God still depends on faith in the name of Jesus Christ. It's faith in him. To believe him. It's receive by faith everything that is said about Jesus Christ. That's basically what it boils down to. Now, John tells us that everyone who receives everything that has been revealed about Jesus Christ and believe it, those people has the right to become children of God. That's what it means. All right, so that kind of settles this verse in John 1 verse 12, because that's the only one where I can think of where we have to receive Jesus. And people can say, oh, no, you have to receive him into your heart. That's nonsense. It doesn't speak about receiving Jesus into your heart. The same thing here in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20, where it speaks about to receive Jesus into your heart. It's as if the door of your heart is opened up. All right, so let's get back to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. I don't believe it's the meaning of the verse that Jesus is standing at the door of a sinner's heart, in the sense of sinners in general. You know, all those who have not yet heard the gospel, and here comes the call of the gospel, and in that way Jesus is standing at the door with the gospel message and speaking to sinners. I don't believe this is what the text is speaking, that he's knocking and he's waiting for a sinner to please open up the door so that he can come into the heart of that sinner. Now, I believe that the meaning of this verse has to do with the church. Remember, this letter is addressed to the church. And specifically, it is the Laodicean church. That church who is lukewarm, the one who has been vomited out by Christ, that's the church that this verse is connected to. You see, Jesus is saying to the church, and I want you to listen very carefully. He's saying to the church. He's not saying to sinners everywhere. He's not saying to the Gentile world out there. No, 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 no. He is looking at the church that he evaluated, the church that he just vomited out of his mouth. He's looking at that church. And he says, if there is anyone inside the church who is spiritually alive, or who is has become spiritually aware, maybe illuminated or enlightened by the Holy Spirit, that realizes that the head of the church is knocking from outside the church. If there's anyone, okay, anyone inside the church, any one of the professing believers inside the Laodicean church, if you hear the knock, well, praise God, because if you hear the knock, it means that the Holy Spirit has just awakened you. The Holy Spirit has made you alive so that you could hear the knock. But if that person hears it and they open up the door, what door? The door to the church. Okay, but at the same time, you can also say open up the door in the sense of they open up themselves, not the door to their heart. Maybe we can talk about, oh, they open up the door to their heart. But this is to open up the door. The scripture doesn't tell us which door to where. Okay? The heart is deceitful above all things and exceedingly wicked. Who can know it? Only God can know the heart. Beloved, why would we want God to come and live in a deceitful heart? Okay, in that sense. No, when God through the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us, He indwells us. And by the way, we don't know where He indwells us, but we know He indwells us. He takes control of us in the sense that He comes and He moves into our lives and He kicks out everything else and He takes control. So what happens is if anybody inside the church hears the knock and goes and opens up the door, that's the door of what? Jesus is knocking at the door of the church. Of the Laodicean church. And if they open up the door, Jesus Christ will come in. Come into the church. And He will come into that person, which means He will now do something in the life of that person. And I believe this is a picture of when somebody is saved, God, the Holy Spirit, comes and indwells that person. I believe that's what it means. Right, so he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. That is, the Holy Spirit will come in to that person and then there will be a feast in the sense of that person will be saved. So our verse does say that the person who opens the door, that Jesus will come in to him and dine with him and he with Jesus. Okay? This basically means that the door of repentance was not closed to the church in Laodicea. This shows something of the grace of Christ, the grace of God, that even though they were lukewarm and Jesus vomited them out of his mouth, yet he stands outside the door of that church and he knocks on the door of that church and he says, if anyone is in there and hears me, open up this door and I will come in. I will come in. Now, the context of the letter clearly shows that the congregation was void of true believers. If you read through the book, this letter to the Laodiceans, there's no way that there were any believers in the Laodicean church. They were all just professing believers. So the church were filled with professing believers without saving faith. There was not a single believer in that church. That's how bad it was, by the way. Now, remember that Jesus vomited the church out of his mouth because they were lukewarm. If they were hot, it means they would have been soothing and healing, bringing the good news of healing of to those who have been under the burden of sin and the snare of the devil. So there's healing. If they were hot or cold, which means refreshing and life-giving. But they were not. They were lukewarm. Good enough to be vomited out because they would upset anybody's stomach. All right, this is figurative speech. Okay? Now, since the church is vomited out of Christ, it makes sense that he knocks, isn't it? That he knocks from outside, because it's not as if he walked out the church. No, what he did was he vomited the church out, because we are in Christ. The church is in Christ. We, in a sense, once again, figurative speech, we are in Christ. We are hidden in Christ. Okay, the church has got its abiding place in Christ. So if the church is lukewarm and upsets him, then what does he do? He just vomits the church out. But if any person inside the church realizes that he personally or she personally are spiritual bankrupt, and that's obviously through the illumination of the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit is the one who opens up the mind and the heart of a person to see their spiritual state. So if there's anybody, a professing believer without saving faith, but who gets illuminated by the Holy Spirit, and that person realizes how spiritually bankrupt they are, and then opens up the door to Christ, here's the promise. Jesus Christ will come into that individual, and he will come into that church through that individual, and he will dine with that person, and that person will dine with him. So basically what it tells us is it takes one person to open the door for Christ to enter the church again. One saved person. One person with real saving faith. One person who realizes their spiritual bankruptcy. One person who opens up the door for Christ, the head of the church, to enter his church. Beloved, it's amazing what Christ can do when there is one person, or let's say someone, who, when they receive saving faith, invites him into the church. It's amazing what Christ can do in that church. But it's also a warning that if a church is filled with professing believers who are not saved, Christ will vomit that church out of his mouth. Christ doesn't play around with the church, beloved. The church is supposed to be an instrument in his hands. Yes, he loves the church. But he loves the church so much that he is willing to discipline the church, to chastise the church, so that the church will not be filled with only professing believers, but the church be filled with saved individuals that makes up the church at the end of the day. Now, this knock of Jesus Christ on the door of the church, and his voice that acts as an invitation to the church. I believe that both his voice and his invitation are both directed at the church. Only the church, not the Gentile world. Remember, he never vomited the Gentile world sinners out of his mouth. Okay? They've never been part of Christ. They're outside of Christ from the beginning. What needs to happen is they need to be saved, and then they need to become part of Christ. But what happened in the Laodicean church is you had this bunch of professing believers who believed that they were saved, who acted like a church, who did everything that was churchy. I'm using it in inverted commas. And what they did was, they acted like the church. They kind of looked like the church. They were called a church. But there was nobody saved in that church. And that's why Jesus vomited them out, because they were supposed to be a church. But the Gentiles, there's no expectation of them having to be a church. You see, in a church, It is expected that the church will either be cold or hot, or maybe both. There's an expectation that the church should be cold or hot. But because the church is not cold or hot, that's why Jesus vomits the church, a local congregation, out of his mouth. But with a Gentile, there's no such expectation, because Christ has done nothing in that person's life. All right, so there's an expectation on the church. There's an expectation on professing believers to live the way that, or to live the profession at least, what they have. But the Laodicean church didn't. In fact, what they did was they were so arrogant that they actually said, "We have need of nothing. We are rich. We have become very wealthy. We have need of nothing." It took Jesus to actually tell them, "Listen, but you are miserable. You are dead. You need to repent." So this is a call to the lukewarm church. Beloved, and this is Jesus knocking on the door of the lukewarm church filled with professing believers who did not live up to what it means to be believers. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did. So it's heartbreaking, actually, to think about it. So you can't just take that passage of Scripture and make it applicable on the Gentile world. It just doesn't fit in. It doesn't make sense to make it applicable to the Gentile world as if Christ has vomited out the Gentile world. No, they've never been part of him. No, he's talking about the church, those who are professing believers. Maybe it's those who believe that they can be second generation believers, you know. The children of parents who came to faith. So the parents are actually saved. They're really saved. So the children just go to church every Sunday and they start doing all the churchy stuff and they learn how to speak church. You know, all these church cliches. They learn how to say these cliches. They know what to say and when to say it. They know how to pray the normal religious prayer stuff. You know, when they are called on to pray, they can pray because, I mean, they know what to pray because they've heard it over and over and over and over again. It doesn't come from the heart. It's not real communication with God. It's just a ritual. It's just something. It's religion. It's just something that they do. So they are the second generation believers, and when their children when their children grow up, they learn from them. Okay, so at the end, the parents, they're dead, the ones that were truly saved, and now you have two generations of believers, professing believers, inside the church, but not one of these two generations are saved. And that's how you end up with a church with unsaved people, people with no passion for Christ, people with that are not hot, not cold either. They are so lukewarm that Jesus will vomit them out of his mouth. And that's how you end up with those people. And that's exactly what Jesus does. He gets to a point where he says, "Listen, this church is no longer church as I intended church to be. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to vomit these people out of my mouth." But praise God. And once again, this is the amazing thing about the God that we worship, isn't it? He reaches out. He calls to repentance. He knocks at the door and he says, if there's anybody in there, any professing believer, anyone who believes maybe that they've been saved because their parents were saved one day, or they believe that they are saved because they are doing good works, or they believe that they are saved because they've become a member of the church, or they did a little profession of faith sometime in their lives, but anybody that has a profession of faith but they know deep down inside of them they are not saved, if there's anybody that is illuminated by the Spirit and then realizes, but Christ is outside. Christ is not inside. And they realize in their own lives, Christ is outside. He's not inside. It is for that church, that let's call it the professing believer in the church, that Jesus is knocking and inviting. If you hear my voice, open up the door and I will come in and dine with you and you with me. Oh, beloved, this is a call to repentance to the church. And you know how sad it is that there is such a call in the church for people to repent? to come to a saving knowledge of Christ. It's sad indeed. But if we act the way that we've seen in Scripture, now how the Laodicean church has acted, we have need of nothing. We are so arrogant, so full of ourselves. Beloved, there's only one thing. Christ will just vomit us out of his mouth. So I believe that Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 cannot be used in evangelism. You know, in the sense of going out and trying to reach the lost for Christ. I believe Revelation 3 verse 20 is like a prophetic voice inside the church that needs to be preached. And I believe preachers need to preach this. And I believe that preachers need to get onto the platforms in their churches and start really challenging their members. Those who profess to be members of the church, those who profess to be believers, to challenge them on their lives. Because at the end of the day, if they are not saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone and haven't repented of their sin, they're going to hell even though they're sitting in the church. But it will be a sad day when Jesus vomits the church out of his mouth because there's no believers in it anymore. So let's pray if there are churches like this, that someone will open up the door for Christ to come in. That someone will open up and realize, you know what, the head of the church is outside the church. He vomited us out because we've become so lukewarm. Oh, may God have mercy. You see, Revelation 3 verse 20 is a call to the professing believers who are in the church, but who are neither hot nor cold. When we look now at Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, we see Jesus, we see his promise to those who overcome. So if he knocked and somebody opened up the door and he came in and he dined with them and that person came to repentance and saving faith in Jesus Christ, that person then becomes an overcomer. Because remember, he gives a promise here to the overcomers, but we know that every true believer is an overcomer, and every true overcomer is a true believer. Nah? So what Jesus does is he promises to the overcomers, not to everyone in the Laodicean church, no, only to the overcomers, to the true believers in the church. Verse 21 says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." Beloved, what this means is that believers will share the privileges and the authority that Christ enjoys as we reign with him. That's in John MacArthur's commentary on Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Remember that we read in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, that Christ has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. We also read in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, about the apostles, where Jesus said, and he promised his disciples that they will sit on 12 thrones and judge the Jews. Beloved, Christ is exalted. He is seated with his Father in heaven. And we will also be exalted when we are glorified. And then we get to verse 22, where Jesus ends his letter to the Laodicean church with the words, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Oh, may there be someone. And that's kind of the hearing as well, now, where Jesus says, "He who hears, let him hear." If somebody hears the knock on the door, you see, it's only the Spirit that can open up the ears of those who are supposed to hear. So let's summarize what the Spirit has been saying to this Laodicean church. Firstly, we've learned that we need to watch out for pride and arrogance. Because it's pride and arrogance that makes God an enemy. Né? You remember that? Please remember that. If you want to become God's enemy, be filled with pride and arrogance. But we also need to guard our mouths. We also learned from the letter of the Laodiceans that what we have in our bank account definitely does not reflect our spiritual condition. We've also learned that Jesus will vomit a church, a local congregation, out of his mouth if he evaluates that church and they fail the evaluation. We've also learned that in Jesus Christ is found everything that is necessary to live the kind of life that pleases him. And we've also seen that Christ's love is expressed in the fact that he chastises and rebukes those that he loves. That's why he chastises this church. He loves them. But he wants them to repent. He wants them to come right. He wants them to open up the door so that he can come into the church, so he can sort them out, so that they can become everything that Christ wants them to be. Now, when Jesus Christ chastises, that's the seventh thing that we've learned, is when Jesus Christ chastises the church and rebukes his people or the people, it is always a call to repentance. Then eighthly, we've also learned that a church is never too far gone, that one person who comes to saving faith, that person can allow Christ to enter, or will allow Christ to enter by opening the door to the church. And Christ will come into the church, and the way that Christ comes into the church is into that person. Because the church is people, nah? It's not a building, it's people. Okay. And then the ninth thing that we've learned in this letter is that those who are overcomers, those who are true believers, will enjoy being with Christ and sharing in his authority forever and ever and ever. And then the tenth thing that we've learned is that those who have ears should listen carefully. They should hear what Christ is saying to the churches through the Holy Spirit. Beloved, that concludes our letter of Christ to the Laodiceans, and I really do hope that we take to heart what Jesus says, and not say, no, this is not for me. See what is in there. Maybe there's something in there that is really something that you can take home, something that you can apply in your own life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you in Jesus' name. And thank you that you speak to us through your word. Thank you for this letter to the Laodicean church, Father. And if any one of us are disqualified as members of the church, or if any one of us qualified to be part of this Laodicean church, I pray, Father, please enable us to repent. Enable us to hear the knock of our King and our Lord and our Savior and the head of the church. Enable us to hear that knock through your Spirit so that we may open up. Oh, Father, I pray, please have mercy where mercy is needed. Give grace where grace is needed. But above all, glorify thyself. For you are God, and there's none like you, and never will be. And enable us as your children to come in line with what you want, because you are who you are, and not expect you to come in line with what we want. We are sinners saved by grace, and may that be true in all of our lives, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Beloved, thank you very much for listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. And may he give you his grace. And remember, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. God willing, until next time, bye-bye.